Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. With that, we say hello, happy Friday. Field, Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel here to preview all games in Week 6. Briefly discuss last night's game. We may have gone off the air there for a second. It's all good. I can see us now. We're going to recap last night's game between the Bucks and the Eagles.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about all the pertinent injuries and storylines for Week 6. Good morning, Matthew. I don't have an irreverent question to ask. I'm just wondering how you're doing.
You know what? I'm good. End of the week. I'm happy. I mean, listen.
You look great today.
Do I?
Yes.
I appreciate that.
So Fun Shirt Friday has been a thing that we've been leaning into so far.
Sure, trying to, yeah.
And you've been going mostly t-shirts up.
Mostly t-shirts.
But today you busted out the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, I want a little Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, it's
comfy. I respect the
heck out of it. It's comfy. Appreciate that. You
know, great.
Love the Hawaiian shirts. Yeah, listen, in the War Room League, any guess, I'm playing against Lou Riddick
right
this week. Any guess who Lou Riddick has on his team?
Well, here's the thing, because I know what you're going to say, because I know who he has on his team.
Okay. Leonard Fournette.
But
of course he does. Of course he does.
Matthew, he started Jalen Reagor. He got 0 points last night from one of his wide receivers.
Yeah, that was a dumb move. But whatever.
Okay, so
But Leonard Fournette had 30 points.
Okay, great.
Leonard Fournette had the greatest game of his NFL career.
Hey, so okay. Let's talk about that.
Because of course he did.
Let's talk about
you know
it
what?
Then.
That's a perfect way to get us right into last night's game. But I'm going to say good morning to Stefania before I do that. I know she's over there and she's going to give us great information in just a few moments. Hello, Stefania. Let's get right into the Bucks and the Eagles. The Bucks win this game 28-22. We came really close.
So close.
Two score predictions yesterday on the show.
Eagles covered.
You see, my prediction was 31-22.
Okay.
Mine was off the cuff. Mike, who of course has a formula behind his, predicted 29-22. So we were eerily close to making that happen. But the Bucks win this game pretty sort of a workman-like effort, if you will, from them.
Yeah,
so Brady comes out hot in the first quarter, 2 touchdown passes. He gets you 18 fantasy points. Not his best, but he's Tom Brady. He's on pace for nearly 6,000 passing yards. Matthew mentioned it, though. Leonard Fournette was a star of the night. Dominated the running back snaps, Matthew, 46. I don't know that this is the... I was thinking about this last night. I think this is the best that I've ever seen Leonard Fournette look. Now, I will counter my own point by saying that a running back should dominate for the Bucks. They've got 9,000 all-star pass catchers. No defense can pay attention to a running back. Like, you're saying to yourself, if Leonard Fournette beats us, I'm cool with that because it's better than Mike Evans or Chris Godwin or Antonio Brown or Rob Gronkowski or Tom Brady's arm.
Right.
Finally, though, Leonard Fournette has realized some of that potential that made him the 4th overall pick. And as far as fantasy goes, Matthew, he's been one of the best values at running back this season.
I have never been a huge Leonard Fournette fan, as you know, but completely agree with you, Field. Thought he looked awesome last night in terms of dominant, in terms of hitting the hole with power and burst, finishing runs, not easy to bring down. To your point, they have a lot of pass catchers that you have to deal with in the passing game. It's hard to load the front against them. By the way, it's also a really good offensive line that the Buccaneers have. And then you add into the fact that the Buccaneers defense, played really well. There was a lot of three and outs for the Eagles. So they were dominating time possession. So now you've got a worn out, tired defense getting dominated by this offensive line and having to deal with Mike Evans and Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin. And so it's no surprise that Leonard Fournette was able to have a big game here. The concern coming into the season on Leonard Fournette, because he had a nice playoff run as well, the concern with any Buccaneers running back was how much run would he get. It felt like last year felt like a real committee. It'd be Ronald Jones 1 week, and then all of a sudden it'd be Uncle Lenny, and then they'd go back to Jones, and like one guy would fumble or one guy would have a bad penalty or miss a block, and then it was just like it was in and out. But it feels like finally, and it's taken them over a year to get there, but it feels like finally Keyshawn Vaughn was there at the very beginning of last year. He was sort of in the mix a little bit.
Sure.
Feels like the Buccaneers have finally said, you know what? Uncle Lenny, Leonard Fournette is our guy. Ronald Jones, Giovanni Bernard, you can come in and spell him when he needs a breather, but He's our guy. He's our guy on third down. He's our guy in short yardage. He's our guy. And last night, he absolutely was. He looked great. It was very annoying to me as somebody who played against him because he kept, I'm like, make a bad play. Something, anything. Get him on the sideline. And it didn't happen. He ended up getting two touchdowns. Monster game for Leonard Fournette.
A couple other notes from last night on the Bucs, Antonio Brown.
And the last piece of it I'll just say is they've been using it. Like, you always knew about the power. You're not as surprised that he's getting used in close. But the passing game usage has been nice.
Best part, yeah.
Yeah. Five or more targets now in three straight games. You know, he's had at least three catches in every game so far this year. Like, they are using him as a true three-down back on one of the best offenses in football. No question, an unbelievable value for those that drafted Leonard Fournette.
So for the Bucs pass catchers, 9 catches for 93 yards and a touchdown from Antonio Brown. It seems to me the calculus is pretty obvious for Antonio Brown. If you have him, and he's a flex consideration for you versus somebody else, he's always the upside play. Like, I don't know who the other player you'd have that's a flex consideration that has more upside than Antonio Brown. Best wide receiver for a decade in a great offense.
Yeah.
You wanted to add there.
Well, you know, all I was going to say is that, like, I have a number of teams where I have Antonio Brown. He's a big sleeper for me in the preseason, as you, as we talked about him a lot. We talked about
potential
him about
value.
Like,
yeah.
In terms of value. And because he was being drafted super, super late. And we're like, you guys, he's playing with Tom Brady on, you know, had a 20% target share over the final 8 games. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. I have a lot of Antonio Brown this year, and I also have a lot of Jacoby Myers.
Mm.
And I often find myself coming down to those two guys week in, week out. And yeah, this week and last week, I'm just like, what am I doing here? I mean, love Jacoby Myers, tremendous target share, but also has never scored a touchdown in his NFL
career. Is he going to do it this weekend?
I think he will. Okay. He's due. But anyway, Antonio Brown, 100%. But like, I feel like that's always a decision that comes up, Antonio Brown or Jacoby Myers, for whatever reason.
All right, so let's keep it moving here. Mike Evans, 2 catches, 27 yards, one of the first catches of the game, and then not much. We've talked about this with Mike Evans. Nothing new here. You're going to have to ride the wave with a couple of occasional down bad games. And then Chris Godwin, 5 catches, 43 yards on 5 targets, just 9.3 fantasy points. So unfortunately for the Bucs, when you have that many good pass catchers, somebody's going to be left with a less than ideal fantasy output for the day. And of course, O.J. Howard has the best night of maybe even, well, I guess other than Antonio Brown. As he found the end zone last night, he had a handful, I think it was 5 targets and 3 catches. Howard looked good last night, too. Good for him. I don't think there's anything to move off of on.
He had 7 targets, 6 for 49 and a touchdown off of 7 targets. But I will say is like, I don't think there's a lot of analysis here. If you have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, you are starting them every week. Until further notice, you were starting Leonard Fournette every week. You already were already starting Tom Brady every week, and that's it. And like, maybe Cameron Brait has a good game next week or O.J. Howard. I wouldn't chase those points. Feels like it's just with those guys, you just have to start them, forget them, and there are going to be some down games because there's so many mouths to feed. But ultimately, at the end of the year, you will be happy that you had one of those guys, if not more, on your team.
Let's get to the Eagles, and we actually have breaking news surrounding the Eagles right now, so this actually kind of works out perfectly. How about this? Just seconds ago, Adam Schefter has tweeted that the Eagles have traded Zach Ertz to the Arizona Cardinals in exchange for cornerback Tay Gowan and also a 2022 fifth-round pick. Zach Ertz found the end zone last night. I'm playing against Stefania in the War Room League, so of course he had a touchdown last night. Is that what I'm supposed to? Is that the way I'm supposed to do it?
That's the way to do it.
Impression.
That's kind of my. It's kind of my shtick.
Okay, was that all right?
Kind of my shtick. Kind
of
find your own lane.
Of course, he gets a touchdown last night.
Love this move. Yeah. And I'll tell you a little bit about why.
Okay, give me one second though, Stefania, just to address this real quickly. Dallas Goedert was out. You knew Ertz, who had been trending up quite a bit, not a surprise that he found the end zone here. I feel like we talked about him on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus. He was a sleeper for us there on that show. If you check that out, and I feel like we talked about him Wednesday on this podcast.
We did, okay. And yesterday too.
Yeah. All right. So. Well, I was on the show yesterday. Thanks for noticing.
Did you listen?
No, I downloaded.
Thanks for listening.
I downloaded.
Let's
download
get to
it,
your insight listen. Because it's actually more valuable than whatever math.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Field.
Of course,
I was going
always.
To say that, you know, Zach Ertz, people, we haven't talked about it that much, but people talked about it like he was done, like he was terrible. And I don't think people realize the nature of the injury he played through last year. He was dealing with something pretty similar to what Michael Thomas was dealing with last year. And he got it fixed in the offseason. And you know where he did his rehab? in Arizona.
Oh, I was going to say Exos.
And yeah, well, no. Okay. But he did his rehab in Arizona, worked really hard there. So I think he got familiar with a lot of folks. I think he liked out there. He and his wife, Julie, were both rehabbing out there. And, you know, probably got some exposure to some of the folks who might have thought, hey, when Max Williams went down with that terrible injury that he suffered and lost for the season, that he might be a good fit. So I just think it's interesting, come full circle. And I like Zach Ertz going forward for those reasons and him also on the upswing.
I wonder if they're going to have the most athletic children of all time, Zach and Julie Ertz.
Because, well, or you... More so than you and Chapin?
Field and Chapin Yates.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. If our kids get like 98% of Chapin's genes and then like my humor.
Your sock game?
And my sock game.
Leg hair.
Humor.
Your
leg
stop hair. It.
You stop
your sock game.
No. Be a girl. About a girl.
Chapin's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Chapin's actually pretty funny. Like, I don't necessarily, right. I don't, here's what I would think your child would want from you. I think
my hair.
I think you're
Chapin's fantasy football skills.
Chapin has lovely hair. I would say that, like, of the two of you, if I was trying to create the perfect child,
right? Okay, this is
what I would do. It would 99%. Here's what I would want from you.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear it.
Your sock game. Like, you're really good with socks. Like,
literally,
good
all
socks.
You do is go to the store and buy them. Yep.
Yeah, and well, pocket squares.
Okay.
If your child would be wearing.
So as far as jeans go, you want them to get my ability to spend money on clothing.
Basically, yes.
Okay.
You know what? And you're good at Twitter. There you go.
Okay.
So there you go.
Creativity. Okay.
So your social media skills, although by the time your child is old enough to use social media, Twitter will probably be dead and it'll be something else.
We'll be live
TikTok streaming
the show
has been.
Still.
What?
Yeah, we'll be live streaming the show still every day.
You might be.
You think Matthew's going to make it that long?
Yeah, come on.
Matthew's going to be the.
Like, listen, the over under of me getting fired before the show, the end of the show is like, you know,
it's about the same as you dying before the end of the show.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Wow.
Right.
That took a turn.
Well, Joe, what do you mean?
Yeah. The guy from like Orville Redenbacher, the old dude on the popcorn. Matthew's going to replace him as the logo of Orville Redenbacher. One day.
I do like that popcorn.
Actually, that really I was going to say, that's pretty good. You are a popcorn guy.
I take that deal.
All right. We got to get going. Yeah. Okay, let's keep it moving here. So Zach Ertz is an Arizona Cardinal. We'll discuss this more next week as we lead into the Week 7 preview. Of course, Zach Ertz is scheduled, or would be eligible, I should say, to play.
Yeah, could he play this weekend for the Cardinals?
Technically cannot.
Okay.
No, we have, I believe we've been down this road once before. I want to say it was...
My fantasy team.
Was it Antonio Brown who got cut after a Thursday? There was somebody who got cut after a Thursday game, and there was questions about whether he could play on Sunday. He can on Monday, I think it was. He cannot. But let's keep things moving forward here.
But this is ultimately very quickly on this. Just to jokes aside,
there's no
this
quick
is,
on this.
No, stop it. Already. This is good for Zach Ertz's fantasy value. Honestly, going to Arizona. You know, there's an opportunity for him to be a starting tight end. He still obviously is healthy, still an elite fantasy tight end. This is good for Dallas Goedert. This is good for Zach Ertz because they were killing each other's fantasy value. They were eating into each other's fantasy value. And now each gets the opportunity to be the tight end on a very good offense. So I think ultimately fantasy wise, this is good news for both Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, by the way, and just quickly. Thanks, Zach Ertz, for an incredible run in Philadelphia. One of the best tight ends in football. Did a lot for that community. Well done by you. Let's get to the rest of the Eagles. And last night, Jalen Hurts wasn't pretty, but he got the job done. He had 25 fantasy points. And I took to Twitter this morning, Matthew, and I noted that every week this season, he scored at least 20 fantasy points.
Correct.
At six straight games. No other quarterback has done it in the first 5 weeks.
Correct.
He has also been a top 12 finisher every week.
Yep.
No other quarterback has done that. And absent just an absolutely ridiculous week from the rest of the league, he'll be top 12 again. As far as fantasy goes, he's an absolute rock star.
I know.
It's amazing, though, when you specifically note, like, he's a fantasy rock star. All the interaction to that tweet is, dude's a bust. They should draft somebody next year. Clearly not QB1. I'm like, hold on. You can have that conversation wherever you want to. Go listen to, I don't know, I'll be on NFL Live later on today. Maybe we'll talk about it then. But fantasy-wise, the dude is an absolute machine right now.
I put him on my love list this week.
How dare you?
And you know, he struggled in the first half, and I got all these tweets from people saying, like, great call on loving Jalen Hurts, you know, Barry, and, you know,
it's also amazing
awful.
How
what
a guy
bust.
Can get 3 points in one half and then 22 points in the second half.
And
it's
then,
amazing.
Right. And then, like, how's that Jalen Hurts number one QB call going? And I'm like, well, first, that was my bold prediction. Right here on this podcast, my bold prediction was Jalen Hurts finishes the year as the number one quarterback in fantasy. And I'm like, well, that was a bold prediction. But honestly, that call going pretty good so far.
Going pretty well.
To your point, he's the only quarterback that's had more than 20 fantasy points in every single game this year. He's done it now for six straight games. Wherever you drafted Jalen Hurts this year, you are making a profit. He has out-earned his ADP left and right. Listen, I made some bad calls this year, but that ain't one of them. That's as good a call as I've made this year. That one and being all in on Austin Eckler being way higher than consensus on Eckler.
And bringing me back for another year in the fantasy,
and bringing back you for another year. That was a good call. Not retiring, maybe a bad call, but
What do you think what do you think about Miles Sanders? Is Miles Sanders a bad call for fantasy managers just across the board now?
By the way, Miles Sanders, another good call for me because he was on the hate list in the preseason this year. He was on the preseason hate list last year. I've been right on him for two straight seasons. Everyone argues about me like, he's a bell cow. He's going to be fantasy gold. He's the best guy they have. Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott, blah, 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 blah. I don't know, man. They don't like him. They don't like him. I mean, to their credit, they gave him a lot of run yesterday, finally. He actually outsnapped, I want to say he's almost close to 4-1. He outsnapped Kenneth Gainwell yesterday. Gainwell couldn't get in the field. So finally some signs of life from Miles Sanders. But like for a guy that was drafted inside the, you know, in the first four rounds, three or four rounds, you happy with 10.6, which was like his third best game of the season?
Nope.
Right. I mean, he was brutal. He has been brutal for fantasy and based on where you drafted him, based on the fact that you drafted him thinking he was going to be a number one or number two starting running back for you. And you can't trust him. You can't use him. Honestly, the pieces of the Eagles offense fantasy-wise that I think you can count on week in, week out, Jalen Hurts, no question about it. Bad game for Devontae Smith. I'm still in on Devontae Smith. I'm not worried about him. And now Dallas Goedert with the trade of Zach Ertz. But other than that, like, you know, listen, Quez Watkins made some plays. So if you're in a super deep league, I prefer Quez Watkins to
Jalen Reagor,
but you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can even trust Gainwell in a deep PPR league. Sanders is like field. What would you do on Miles Sanders here?
Bench?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't bench him. Here's what I would do. I would come close to it. I mean, I would think about it strongly. I mean, here's the only reason why I have a little bit. There's only one reason.
Reason
why I have a slight bit of optimism going forward for Miles Sanders. That the noise is getting so loud in Philadelphia. The fans were literally standing on their feet last night cheering when Miles Sanders got a carry late in that game. That you wonder if Philly goes back to the self-scout and they're like, holy cow, it is so bad right now what we are doing in terms of the running back usage that maybe we have to play him more, Matthew. But until that time happens, he's probably nothing more than just a flex play. And at that point, I'm not sure you really want to be flexing a guy like Miles Sanders. All right, that's enough. Anything else from this game? Are you good?
I am good here. It is worth noting. It is worth noting he did get 19 touches, so he finally got some work. Listen, you have to hang on to him, but it's whatever.
Yep.
You know, whatever. 2 years in a row, I've been right on Miles Sanders, and everyone yells at me in the preseason on Miles Sanders, and here we are at week six. Like, try to tell you guys.
Injuries coming up.
2 straight years, I've tried to tell you.
Injuries coming up in 1 second, but first. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
No matter what the sport, professional leagues go through a rigorous process to select the best athletes for their teams. What if you had the tools to put that type of rigor into your hiring process? Well, you've got them when you use ZipRecruiter. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. So how does ZipRecruiter scout the best and brightest for your team? Its matching technology scans resumes across its millions of job seekers to find qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. Then you can easily review recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire.
Time now for the best part of the show every single day. That's the insight from Stefania Bell. And Stefania, we got a whole bunch of injuries. And unfortunately, we have to start with some bad news as Christian McCaffrey, who has been practicing on a limited basis for a while now, did not practice on Thursday. What's it all mean?
It's hard to know. I think it's not good news. I mean, that's my instinct, is that him not practicing at all on Thursday. You know, originally there was some question as to whether that was just during the open portion to the media, but they ended up reporting him as a non-participant. On Wednesday, Matt Rhule had called him 50-50 for the weekend. And We'd certainly heard encouraging things last week, so it only seemed natural that the progression would be moving towards him returning from that hamstring strain. But it was hard to know is, did they pull him down for a maintenance day, or was this really, was there a setback? Was it just that they didn't want to overload him? So a lot depends on what we hear on Friday, but my initial reaction is that it's not great news.
That means that Chuba Hubbard's the next man up once again in that Carolina backfield. And a note that they did cut Rodney Smith from the practice squad. They had promoted him and used him in the passing game a bit, so maybe Hubbard's value is up a bit. We'll have more information on Christian McCaffrey later on today. Trust me, if he's out or if he's playing, you're going to know it, right, even if we don't have a clear picture of it right now. Let's go to Dalvin Cook, Stefania, because we have to balance out the bad news with the good news.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook was back practicing this week, and I'm told he looked really good at practice on Wednesday. Remember, it came down to the wire last week, and he had not done anything in practice all week, and then Sunday had a quick pregame workout and exited and was out of the game. But this week, back in practice, two consecutive days of full participant. Well, actually upgraded to full yesterday, but 2 days in a row that he was out there, which is good. You know, it's interesting because Alexander Mattison has a shoulder injury, and he was the one who was limited on Thursday, not Dalvin Cook.
Okay, Alexander Mattison now limited. Well, the good news is Dalvin Cook is on schedule to play on Sunday. How about his teammates, though, Stefania? A couple of notable wide receivers, including Justin Jefferson, have not yet practiced this week.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson's a little worrisome. I mean, people around there are like, okay, let's see what he does on Friday. Now, Justin Jefferson, who's listed on the injury report because of an ankle issue, he told reporters that he does not expect to have any limitations and be available on Sunday. Players aren't always correct, so we'll wait and see what happens today. But I think it just gives you the sense that it's not a serious injury. Maybe they're saving him for the weekend.
Okay, that is good information right there. Adam Thielen, all good, Stefania? I think I saw he's been limited. Has he been out of practice as well?
Yeah, he's had a foot issue.
This is management.
He's had a foot issue as well, but you wonder if it's more management. Friday's a big day for Minnesota, you know, sure. And it's really hard to read. You know, we talk about some of the teams where the injury reports, it's really clear, but it's not always been easy to tell with them, Dalvin Cook being sort of the case in point where it was up and down and up and down. But the understanding is that so far we're not overly concerned about these two.
Maybe keep your eyes on KJ Osborne if Justin Jefferson's ruled out. He, of course, had a really strong start to the season. If you're in a real pinch or in a deep league, Osborne could fit the bill. Let's go to Chicago, Stefania, where they're already down David Montgomery. And now, as of this moment, they're down their next man up in Damian Williams as well. What's going on there?
Right. Well, he tested positive for COVID-19, was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. Now, you remember, it's different in terms of the protocol for vaccinated versus unvaccinated player, and we don't know his status. If you are unvaccinated, you have to quarantine for 10 days, so that would take him out for this week's game. If you're vaccinated, you have to return two negative tests consecutive days within 24 hours apart between tests, so there is a chance that he could be available. We will have to wait and see.
I may have missed other examples, but the only one that I can think of a player who tested positive and returned that week with two consecutive negative tests was actually Zach Ertz when the Eagles played on Monday night a couple of weeks back. But
well, there was an issue with a player last week, if you recall. I'm not sure if it was Gerald Everett. I can't remember, but there was a question because the test was inconclusive, and so the timing came real close, and now it's sounding that the NFL is at least looking at policy when it comes down to the wire as far as availability late in the week. So,
all right.
Stay tuned because we're going to update you, but we don't really have a way to read it because we don't have all the information about the player's status.
Fantasy Football Now on Sunday will be the best place to get an update on Damian Williams. For now, though, let's plan on Khalil Herbert stepping into a starting role as he and Ryan Nall, Artavis Bryant, the other names to know in Chicago. Last week, Herbert had a near even split with Damian Williams in terms of total touches. Now, if you watch that game, it was pretty clear that Williams was the go-to guy early and in more impactful situations. Herbert got a decent amount of work late. Matthew, a sixth-round pick that few people even knew about, is now all of a sudden potentially a starting running back. Is he a top 20 play, top 30 play? How high would he climb in your ranks if Damian Williams is out?
I think he's a top 25 play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't see any passing game usage from him
right
last week. And so I don't know if that's just, hey, they felt Damian Williams is a superior pass catcher. He's a really good pass catcher. So I don't know, honestly, if that's a function of what they believe Herbert can handle or just because they had a better guy available. So we'll see if he gets any passing game usage in this game. So that's why I'm cautioning a little bit, but I'm assuming that Damian Williams is out. And honestly, I thought just the, like, he's fast. Herbert's fast, and they like him. I will tell you, like, again, we talked about this, I think, on the Monday show before the news about Damian Williams. I just gave a shout out to Dan Graziano, who literally on last Friday's This Just In, the new Max Kellerman show, talked up Khalil Herbert. Like, just he had been talking with some Bears coaches and just said, like, I know everyone's thinking Damian Williams is going to be the guy, but don't be surprised to see a lot of Khalil Herbert. They like him a lot in Chicago. So I think that you will see a very significant workload for him, assuming Williams is out, in a decent matchup.
Let's keep things moving here on the injury front, Stefania. The Browns have been without both of their running backs, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, so far this week. Let's talk about Chubb first.
Yeah, Chubb is a little worrisome to me because it's a calf issue, which obviously if you're running back, that's more serious. And these are the things that tend to linger. Has not practiced yet this week. Friday, a big day for him. If you look at the Browns injury report in total, they have a ton of players on the list.
Dude, it's and so a huge
it's
list.
Really hard to tell if they're in maintenance management mode because they're trying to conserve as many guys as they can for the end of the week, or how much real concern there is at this point.
And how about Kareem Hunt? Is he as much of a concern, or is that one more management?
I don't feel like he is, because some of the things he's listed with, it's been there and he's been playing through it so far. So I feel like it's a little easier to read on him, but obviously today's going to be a big day. Also with Jarvis Landry, who is eligible to come off this week. We thought he was going to practice, but he hadn't really been practicing, but doing some running. So again, a lot to uncover when they get out there and practice today.
Bless him. That's what we say for Jarvis Landry's return. So if Nick Chubb sits and Kareem Hunt plays, he's a top five running back this week. I mean, he is just an incredible talent, obviously. Now, the Cardinals have been a stingy, stingy run defense so far this season. That being said, Kareem Hunt is so good in the passing game. He should get incredible volume. And this Browns offense, even if Baker Mayfield has been under siege recently with some of his play, he scored 42 points last week. Like, they are humming so far this year. Kareem Hunt has massive upside if Nick Chubb is out. If both of them are out, honestly, we'll get back to you on Sunday. Like, we'll have to give you a better answer, because I'm not sure it's clear to anybody how the Browns would address their backfield if both of those players are unavailable. Hey, Chris Carson, Stefania, earlier in the week, you know, you were saying how, like, sometimes players don't even know what exactly their status is. Earlier in the week, Pete Carroll was like, yeah, Chris Carson's going to practice on Thursday, and then he didn't.
We've seen this Pete Carroll before, right? Mm-hmm. Really optimistic about a player, like, okay, he's doing better, and we're hoping for good things. And then Chris Carson has not been out there, still dealing with this neck issue, which, as we talked about last Sunday, is a chronic condition that flares up from time to time. But it's no joke. I mean, it's not something that if a player's experiencing these kind of symptoms that you want him to play through. So right now, it doesn't sound too encouraging for Chris Carson. But we've also seen things change on a dime in Seattle. So leaving the door open for now, but it's certainly not looking great. Could be another Alex Collins.
They play Sunday night against Pittsburgh, so we'll keep an eye on that one. Alex Collins will step into a larger role like he did last week. Stefania, the Bills play.
Ideally, you're looking elsewhere.
I think bad matchup.
Bad matchup. Maybe not 100% healthy. He's played under 50% of snaps each of the last two games.
Normally,
he hasn't been involved in the passing game recently as well. Steelers allow the fourth fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. So, not 100% healthy. Tough matchup.
I'd agree. Backup in most quarterback. Cases with, but there are a lot of injuries this week to running back, so it might not.
May not have
bye
a
week.
Right.
Yeah. With four bye weeks as well, so that could be the case. Stefania, Julio Jones, the Titans and Bills play on Monday Night Football, of course, on ESPN. The Manning cast is back as well for this one.
Yes.
He has been back at practice and seems like he's trending in the right direction.
Yeah, this is really good news for Tennessee. The wide receivers getting healthier. Obviously, AJ Brown back, Julio Jones back in practice and looking good, running well, I'm told, and so I do think they will have both these guys available on Monday night.
More to come on A.J. Brown later on in the show. Mike Williams has been perhaps the best value in fantasy this year, Stefania, but he has not practiced yet this week for Los Angeles. What's going on?
Yeah, Mike Williams gets banged up. He plays really big and physical, and sometimes it takes a toll on him. We've seen that in the past. So he's got a knee issue that he's working through. Remains to be seen what his status will be for the weekend.
Stay tuned to that. Stay tuned for Fantasy Football Now, and we'll have the full update on Mike Williams. We'll see whether he practices. They practice, of course, later in the day as a West Coast team, but Keenan Allen obviously will be very busy. I think if Mike Williams sits, you're probably looking elsewhere before you look at in-house options for the Chargers, like a Josh Palmer or somebody like that. But here's to hoping the big Mike plays on Sunday. Daniel Jones, Stefania, took a really nasty hit last week. Actually sort of initiated himself, but still, it was a big hit. He left the game immediately. It seemed like one of those hits that might keep you out for some period of time, but perhaps not the case.
Yeah, I mean, he's been making some progress through the concussion protocol. Was last seen doing light exercise and running on the side. And those are the initial things you do. You see if they provoke symptoms and what the response is. So we talk here often about how it's a nonlinear progression because the steps you don't necessarily have, it's not a time-based progression, it's really a symptom-based progression. So everything they've given him so far, he's handled well, and they feel encouraged about Daniel Jones' availability for this weekend.
How about all those pass catchers, though? Because you've got Kenny Galladay, you've got Sterling Shepard, you've got Kadarius Toney. Yeah, big one.
I mean, there's so many, right? I think Kenny Galladay is the most likely to miss of all of these. He's not practiced yet, and we knew that he was dealing with an injury, but Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton were already making progress last week, and it does look like they will be available. And Kadarius Toney was the surprise addition to the injury report at the start of the week. Remember, he was getting evaluated suddenly on Monday for an injury we didn't know anything about, and Joe Judge added to the mystery by saying, hey, we don't think it's anything season ending, whereas everybody was like, whoa, you know, not season ending. That sounds like it's pretty dire, but I don't think it was, obviously, by the fact he was back in practice already, even if it was limited. So managing reps among their wide receivers, but I think those three will be available this week.
Real quickly, before we move on to anything else, just got an alert on an app that I'm not allowed to mention, but don't know anything about this, but something worth monitoring, that Terry McLaurin not practicing today. He is on the side of the field with trainers, they are saying. So anyway, don't know anything else, but just that's something to put on your radar because he has not been that's not been anything that's been aware, but not practice. It appears, at least according to these alerts, these tweets, not practicing today and on the side of the field with trainers. So something just to watch out for.
Glad you brought it up, because I actually want to ask Stefania about one more in that same game, because maybe I'm misreading the tea leaves here, Stefania, but no Tyreek Hill yet this week in practice for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't have my antenna aren't up yet.
Okay, good
I think
to know.
This is more of a management thing, but
I would guess after.
This is a tough time of year, right? Because everybody, I can feel it already. Everybody's like, wait, you're saying, you know, why don't you know? Why don't you know more? What this is, what the teams are managing. And sometimes they don't know what the availability is going to be until we get down to Friday, because they are giving guys that opportunity to heal as far as they can before they're really making any kind of decision.
And by the way, Tyreek Hill, like at some point, diminishing returns on practice, right? He's really freaking good, even if he practiced no days a week all throughout the season. So anyways.
And for a lot of veterans, that actually ends up what it's being, that they really don't take any practice reps because they are managing their health.
I don't ask for much in life, but if the Giants can continue to get Kadarius Toney tons of targets this weekend, even with those players potentially back, that would be great. Before we get into a couple more, we have some big decisions to make in regards to other injuries. You guys may have missed this, but it sounds as though the NFL might have two starting quarterbacks that play left-handed this weekend, and I'm not just talking about Tua Tagovailoa. Take a look and listen.
I believe Russell Wilson will spend these 4 weeks learning how to throw left-handed.
Okay.
Well, that is what I think is going to happen. I believe he is that talented. And he's going to be like Kenny Stabler. He's going to come out there, and he's going to be the greatest left-handed quarterback of all time. Second part of his career. So there you go. There you go. What happened? I called it. And what happens? Look, you guys all made fun of me for saying Russell Wilson wouldn't throw left-handed. What's he doing out there? He's out there throwing a left-handed. He has yet to miss a game in his NFL career.
He is throwing absolute pellets. And by pellets, I mean he is throwing the like ducks right now, Matthew. I love it. I'm happy that you called this, and I'm happy that you get to have a chuckle out of it. But
maybe he starts.
Maybe he starts,
keeps the streak alive. He throws like one little junk pass with the left hand, and then makes way for Geno Smith.
You know what this proves?
I'm right all the time.
No,
yes.
Russell Wilson listens to the Fantasy Focus podcast. Yeah. He just wanted to throw you a bone. That's number one. Number two, Russell
you guys
Wilson,
all poo-pooed it.
Russell
there was a
Wilson
lot of poo-pooing
is a
going on.
Athlete. Than any of us will ever be. He's a multi-sport athlete, which I always encourage. Baseball player, he can throw both hands. Stop.
He can, but I'm just saying, you guys poo-pooed it. You guys poo-pooed it, and what he unpooed it is what he did. He just went out there, and he just said, you know what? Barry's right. I am going to learn how to throw left-handed.
Opposite of poo-pooing something?
Unpooing it. Yeah.
What would be the opposite of that?
I think it's unpooing it.
Is it
what?
Really?
Is it, or is it oop-ooping it?
Oop-ooping it. That sounds
It's either oop-ooping it or unpooping it. Wait, not
I don't really like either.
I don't know. Like supporting it would be also.
Sure.
Like,
yeah. Whatever.
You want to be more technical?
No big deal.
All right.
NBD.
So.
All I'm saying is like, a thank you to all the fans. Like, I cannot tell you how many times I got tagged in the tweets about the Seahawks. Russell Wilson also tweeted out this video as well on his Twitter account. And a lot of people tagged me knowing that they remember the conversation from earlier this week when I talked about the fact, hey, don't be surprised if Russell Wilson tries to learn how to throw left-handed.
I will say this. What I am keeping an eye on for tomorrow is whether the Seahawks put Russell Wilson on injured reserve, which would automatically rule him out for three games. They have a bye week as well, so you'd be talking about 6, 7, 8, 9 guaranteed. The earliest he could return would be week 10. I don't know where their roster is, whether they need to manage the roster that way or not, but somebody keep an eye on.
I don't see it happening, and I'll tell you why. Because they were talking yesterday about him and the value that they have in having him at practice and working with the other quarterbacks and talking. I mean, there was actually a lot of chatter about it. Mm. They made such a big deal about the benefits of having him around.
Interesting.
That I'd be a little bit surprised.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on that one tomorrow around 4 p.m. Eastern time. All right. So time for us to go for two, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. And that Russell Wilson conversation takes us right into a DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett conversation. Before we begin on the value of them this week, Stefania, DK Metcalf seems to be another one of those guys that is managing something.
Yeah, and he's a little bit banged up and not practicing, but I don't think that we are really worried about him. This is something he's already played through.
Okay. So, and this is, I think it's a pretty consistent pattern so far. Practice limited Wednesday, sit out Thursday, practice more on Friday. Some teams start the week in pads, so guys get limited work while the pads are on and then less work when the pads are off. Sounds like no concern there.
And some teams will do a heavier practice on Friday and do their walkthrough earlier, so they shift it around.
And along those lines, it's a very good matchup. That's the part that matters most here, is I have both these players inside my top 10 this week of wide receivers. Mike Clay does as well. Matthew, you're a little bit less optimistic on Tyler Lockett only, but I think we, no matter what you want to say about Geno Smith, who has been the target of much criticism throughout his NFL career, he looked sharp last Thursday night, and the Seahawks have shown confidence in continuing to bring him back as their backup. Like, I know there's been a lot of, should they sign Cam Newton? Should they sign or trade for this or that? Nick Foles. Like, it's pretty clear that they think Geno Smith is going to be competent enough to keep this offense afloat.
A lot of people have looked bad in a Jets uniform only to find success elsewhere in the NFL. Would not be surprising if Geno Smith adds his name to that list. This is a guy who was insanely talented and productive in college, and it's a good system, it's a good organization, and when you're thrown to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and the rest of the pass catchers there in Seattle, good things can happen. I have Tyler Lockett at 14. He's had three bad games in a row. And one of the things that really you love about Lockett is the fact that he had that great connection on deep passes with Russell Wilson. Is that there with Geno Smith? I'm not sure. However, I have both guys, to your point. I have Metcalf and Lockett inside my top 15. Both are must-starts this week against the Steelers secondary, which, by the way, ain't the Steelers secondary. It's actually a good matchup these days for pass catchers. So, yeah, with 10 days to prepare, they'll coach Geno Smith up. I think he's going to be just fine.
To paint that point you made about the Steelers secondary being bad with numbers, they're allowing the second most wide receiver fantasy points per game this season.
That's a lot.
45.6. Only the Titans have been worse. Remember to pick every NFL matchup for a shot at prizes with Pigskin Pick'em presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Play at ESPN.com/PigskinPick'em or on the ESPN Fantasy app. As we know, Juju Smith-Schuster will miss the rest of the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Meanwhile, perhaps the only matchup better than the Steelers secondary, well, I guess technically it's the Titans secondary, but not far behind is the Seahawks secondary, who has just been a mess of late. As Mike Clay told us, they have converted a former safety into a 100% of the snaps cornerback in DJ Reed. Their starter at the beginning of the year, Trey Flowers, he was waived. He now plays for the Bengals. It's been all sorts of a mess for the Seahawks this season, Matthew, which means great things for both Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson, one of which, Deontay Johnson, makes your love list.
Yeah, I really like him a lot. Look, he has scored a touchdown or had 100-yard receiving in every single game this year. You just mentioned the struggles of the Seattle Seahawks secondary. One thing that they've really struggled against is the deep ball, right? They've allowed the fifth most deep completions over the last 4 weeks. Like, you can, not only can you throw in Seattle, you can certainly throw deep. And so Johnson, who obviously is a deep threat, as is Chase Claypool for the Steelers, he's got a catch of over 40 yards in each of the last 3 weeks. Deontay Johnson does. I mean, even last week when it's like he only had one catch, but it was a long one. Right,
yeah.
Exactly right. So he's got double digit targets in 10 of his past 14 games. I'm sorry, 11 of his past 14 games. Johnson comes in at number 13 for me. He's on the love list. Big game coming for Deontay Johnson on Sunday night.
Chase Claypool not that far behind. He's at 21 in your ranks. Claypool and Johnson figure to have a larger target share this week with no Juju Smith-Schuster. It's time for the Captain Sub of the Week, and the Captain Sub of the Week is Daryl Williams. Bench boring drinks and sub in the captain on game day. Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL, and Daryl Williams comes in inside all of our top 20, number 19 on the consensus board for running backs at ESPN. Matthew, we've hammered this point a few times this week that if you told me Daryl Williams was going to be the starting running back for the Chiefs without Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he might have more volume than Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a Chiefs running back with Daryl Williams as the change of pace guy.
At least 11 fantasy points in almost every game except for one, in games in which he's gotten double-digit touches. They use him in the passing game. We saw it last week when he came in for CEH. Guess what? No team in the NFL has given up more receiving touchdowns to opposing running backs than my Washington football team. To be clear, there's a lot of stats where you can say no team has done more, given up more of blank than the Washington football team. Like, that's a fill in the blank answer for a number of statistics.
Odyssey, yeah.
But one of them is receiving touchdowns to opposing running backs. I think it's a big game for the Chiefs. It's the highest over under the slate. He's going to get a lot of work. You'll see some Jerick McKinnon, but it's mostly going to be the Daryl Williams show on Sunday. And so Daryl Williams, who comes in at running back 16 for me, I am as a top 20 play. He makes the love list this week. Him, along with the rest of Kansas City, will have a big game against what Washington calls a, and I'm using air quotes here, defense.
Yeah, that 11-plus points in 5 of 6 games with 10-plus touches, like, that's fine, Matthew. It doesn't blow me away. What really is exciting to me is the fact that he has, I think, his best chance to be the legit starter for Kansas City. Like, I think most of those games were either timeshare games or games where they were blowing the opponent out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I 1,000% agree. To my point, though, my thought there on using that stat is, like, that's a floor. You know what I mean? It's a good floor that, like, we know he's going to get at least 10 touches in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is like, the at worst, he gives you what Miles Sanders gave you last night, right?
Like that,
with obviously upside for more. So he's going to be usable. He's absolutely going to be usable. He's got a nice floor with tremendous upside when you're the starting running back of the Kansas City Chiefs.
No two ways about that. Time now for a little more love-hate, Matthew. And let's start with a tight end who just keeps climbing the ranks higher and higher and higher. That is Dalton Schultz, who right now, top 5. Amongst tight ends in fantasy points, receptions, and receiving yards this season, the Cowboys travel to play New England on Sunday.
Yeah, and a lot of people, sometimes when you see these guys high up in the ranks on tight end in terms of scoring fantasy points, you're like, oh, they have one big game or two big games because it's such a decimated position. But here's a guy that's had at least 6 catches in 4 or 5 games. He's had at least 7 targets in 3 straight weeks. He has clearly separated himself from Blake Jarwin. And I got a lot of people asking me on Twitter after I posted my love-hate because he made my love list, like, really? Do you see what the Patriots do to opposing tight ends? Like, they shut them down. And I'm like, I get it. I said, but if you look at who the Patriots played previously versus the Cowboys, where you've got Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, and you've got the running game, they're using Tony Pollard quite a bit in the passing game as well. Like, there's so many weapons in Dallas that Dalton Schultz is the least of your worries.
Mm.
That my expectation here is that Bill Belichick, and he sits here and is designing a game plan of how they're going to slow down Dak Prescott. They're like, you know what we really need to do? Whatever, Zeke, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, let's shut down Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't worried about that. I guess my point is I actually think that because of the usage that Schultz is getting, again, at least 7 targets in 3 straight games, and because Dallas has so many other weapons that the Patriots are going to have to contend with, that it should be another good game for Schultz here, relatively speaking, to other tight ends, because they have just much bigger concerns on the defensive side for New England.
You know what my thoughts are on
yes,
why
sir.
Dalton Schultz deserves to be on the love list?
What is that?
Because he's like a good tight end. And yeah. There's like four of them in the NFL right now. So Dalton true. Schultz That's makes true it as every well. Single week. Yeah.
But I just, I guess my point is like, just I want to directly address that because that came up a lot. Do you understand how good the Patriots are against opposing tight ends? And my answer is, yes, I do. But in this particular game, I think Schultz is going to see a lot of good matchups because of all the other weapons that Dallas has that I think that New England will put a higher priority on trying to stop.
As far as the hate list goes, Matthew, Josh Jacobs is on the hate list, and I don't think this is much of a surprise.
I mean, like, he was on the preseason hate list. It's not personal. It really isn't. I think Josh Jacobs is a good NFL running back. I do think he has talent. But I think given the scheme that they run and the way they use him and the issues on the offensive line, and the lack of, you know, consistent passing game usage, even when they've given him work in the passing game, right? He's gotten 5 targets each of the last 2 weeks. He's been held to under 20 receiving yards. Like, they're not targeting downfield at all. Like, it's just dump offs. He's been held to under 50 rushing yards and under 70 scrimmage yards in all 3 games that he's played. That's the other thing. He's been banged up this year. It's a tough matchup against the Broncos, who allow the second fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs so far this year. 5th lowest in terms of yards per carry allowed. 6th fewest rushing yards allowed to opposing running backs. There's just, like, if you wanted to take the opposite argument to me, there's not a case to be made for Josh Jacobs on the positive side, other than the fact that, like, maybe he falls in the end zone, which is always a chance that you take with any running back. It's the challenges of putting a running back on the hate list. It's always a chance that they score a touchdown, but nothing in the underlying numbers or what you see from the eye test, given the matchup with Denver and what we've seen out of Jacobs and the Raiders offense this year, gives you any confidence that Jacobs has a nice game this weekend.
There's literally one reason why I'm holding out some hope for Josh Jacobs.
What's that?
Everybody in the Raiders offense, new play caller.
Right.
Right. And who knows, right? Like, maybe Greg Olson, the new play caller, is like, hey, you know what? We actually underutilized Josh Jacobs in the following ways. Didn't give him enough touches in the running game. Didn't give him enough targets in the passing game. Didn't give him enough goal line carries. I don't know. I'm making all this up, obviously. But I'm not holding out a lot of hope. I'm just holding out a bit of hope. To be honest with you, the player that I actually think, and I know I'm not trying to, like, invoke an old argument again, but, like, if there was a player who commensurate with his salary is being underutilized the most right now in Las Vegas, it's probably Kenyon Drake, right? Like, they paid him all this money to have him sit there and watch from the sidelines. Like, maybe, just maybe, some of these players are utilized different in a new system, but that's one of those things that, like, you'd have to see it first before you felt confident in
Well, and by the way, the other thing is, if you think about Greg Olson's career, you know, and it's tough, obviously, because he's been in some situations where the defense has been bad, but if you think about former offense coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars under Blake Bortles, they threw a ton, right? Then he went to Sean McVay, and he was under Sean McVay, and he was the quarterback's coach for Jared Goff. They threw a ton, right? And so when he was there, and then John Gruden, when he was building his staff in with the Raiders, brought Greg Olson along from L.A., and he's been with Gruden ever since Gruden got to the Raiders. So throughout his recent NFL career, he's been a very pass-happy offense coordinator. Now, again, Gruden called the plays in with the Raiders, so we will see what Greg Olson does with the current makeup. But my feeling is, again, this is a gut call based on absolutely nothing, but my expectation is actually that they push the ball down the field a little bit more, and they're going to be even more pass happy. See some Bryan Edwards, see some Henry Ruggs, along with obviously Waller and Renfro.
From your lips to God's ears. Didn't know what he got.
I'm going to jump in here and throw the show back to Stefania as we have an update on Nick Chubb, I'm being told.
Yes. Ooh. So Nick Chubb not seen at the portion of practice open to media today. So this would be the 3rd straight day. If he misses, Kareem Hunt, however, back at practice after not practicing for 2 days.
Okay, so as I said earlier, I think if Kareem Hunt plays and Nick Chubb does not, Kareem Hunt will be in the top 5 of my running back ranks going into the week. He is far too talented, too great of an opportunity. The matchup is not great. As I said, Arizona has been very stingy against the run. That being said, Kareem Hunt should be money in the bank on Sunday. Let's get to some players.
He's used on all 3 downs. He'll be great. Yes.
Let's talk about some tough decisions this week, Matthew. And
okay, I'll make them.
Good.
That's my job.
Right.
My job is to make the tough decisions. A lot of you guys, you're a bunch of waffles. Like, you know what? But I'm the syrup over here. I'll make the tough decision.
Yeah.
Hold on. Can someone explain that analogy to me?
I don't have a good one.
What he's saying is we're the substance, and Matthew is the thing that makes everyone feel sick when they have too much of
Sticky.
It.
Sticky.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Wow.
MIP.
I literally have no idea what you mean by that.
Well, I was
the waffles, and you're the syrup, and you make the tough decisions.
I'm going to break it down for you. So I was saying you guys are waffling.
Yeah.
So then I, from waffling, like you guys aren't making tough decisions. Like you guys are waffling. I'll make the tough decisions because you guys can't because you waffle.
And then I went to waffle, and then I was just like,
okay, off of waffle of food, like what's the opposite of waffle? What goes with waffles? But and
the,
but
the
that
opposite.
Is like that makes a decision. and then I went with syrup. And as soon as I said, I was like, oh, that was a mistake, because it makes no sense at all.
No, none.
It makes none whatsoever. But you know what? I was firm with it.
Yeah,
you know, that's part of making a tough decision is it's like even if you're unsure, you know, you go for it, right?
You know,
often wrong but seldom in doubt, right? That's the key.
You are the Pete Weber of the Fantasy Focus.
Who do you think you are?
I am.
You're the waffles. I'm the syrup.
Exactly.
Literally, I have no idea what that means, but it sounds pretty cool.
I love it.
It's a great. So for anyone who doesn't
know, you
mixed
metaphors there. That's okay.
Yeah. No.
You go to Princeton.
Yeah. Right. What?
You did not go to Princeton.
So I did not go to Princeton, right, correct.
You mixing metaphors is like pretty much expected.
Totally. Listen, English is my second language.
I've never heard you say that before.
Right. Who do you think I am?
Who
do you think you are? I screwed it up.
Oh, my gosh.
I screwed it up. Who do you think you are? I am. It's the Pete Weber. It's a bowling clip from like 30 years ago.
You have so much Pete Weber energy. It's not even funny.
I love Pete Weber.
I know.
Pete Weber's a legend, by the way.
Yeah, I know. So are you. In your own way.
In my own way.
All right,
have I been fired from the show yet?
Wait, did you say in your own way or in Norway?
In Norway.
In Norway.
You're big in Eastern Europe.
I can't walk the streets in Norway. I get mobbed.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Wow.
Everywhere else
in the
world.
I'll bet you get recognized a lot in Norway, man.
All the time in Norway. Yeah. Unbelievable. Because everyone else in Norway is like, you know, really good looking, you know.
Yeah.
It's very obvious
that you stand out.
I get it. Like, who's the stranger? Oh, it's Matthew Berry.
Oh, it must be Matthew.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So
I get mobbed.
You ready for this? We're going to be quick here.
Sure we are.
No. Good. Yeah. It'll be the first time for
guys. Sorry.
Right? So Aaron Rodgers, and I said this a couple of days ago, is that stop laughing. You want to laugh?
I'm just trying to think. I'm still on what the opposite of waffles are.
You could have gone pancakes.
Okay, fine. All right.
Anyways.
I don't think that's the right one. But like if you guys are waffling, it's better than syrup. Syrup was a mistake.
You're convicted. If we're waffling, you're convicted. You are strong-minded. You have willpower.
Are you convicted on Aaron Rodgers this week, or are you waffling on whether or not he's a top 10
player? Hey-o!
Nice. There you go. Not waffling?
Okay.
He's Aaron Rodgers.
He is. And this was the conversation I had
Chicago's
with Mike yesterday.
Good.
Yeah. It was just like, in your mind, if you have Aaron Rodgers as your starting quarterback, is this really the week where you're saying to yourself, all right, I'm going to go stream somebody, whether it's a Taylor Heineke, whether it's a Daniel Jones, et cetera. And Mike made a really good point because he's Mike, right? Is that how many more fantasy points does Aaron Rodgers have than Taylor Heineke this season, Matthew?
How many more?
Yeah.
I mean, actually, not that many. I mean, more, but not, I wouldn't think, a ton.
One more?
I mean, like, but because...
Rodgers was brutal in week
Rodgers
one.
Rodgers was brutal in week one. He had the 1 point, and Heineke came in week one, has been started since week two, has been good. So, yeah, I mean, like, they basically have the same number of fantasy points, but again, you throw out week one, and it's a different story. He's better than Heineke, but not significantly so.
Yeah, I'm just saying. The point is that he has been pretty good so far, has Taylor Heineke this year, as is Aaron Rodgers. You know, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around actually benching Aaron Rodgers this week. So let's keep things moving here. Robert Tonyan, like this is not like, I don't know that it's much of a conversation, Matthew, in this regard. He's been a top 30 tight end once this year.
Once.
If you're playing Robert Tonyan, it's because you play in a 16-team league and like the only other option is like Gerald Everett or something, right? Like if you're playing Robert Tonyan, you're hoping that he scores.
That's right.
You're not feeling confident that he'll score. Now that we're talking about him negatively, he'll probably score three times on
Sunday.
Exactly.
He is a touchdown-dependent tight end. He is so. I don't know if for anyone that wasn't watching at home, we just flashed a graphic. He's been held to under 3 fantasy points. Under 3 fantasy points in 4 out of 5 games this year. He's tight end 32 on the year. He made the hate list this week. Like, I ranked him. I have Tonyan at tight end 15 after the Thursday night game.
Right.
So I'm actually being nice to Tonyan. I'm at tight end 15. He's tight end 32 on the season. So I'm saying he's actually going to do better than where he's ranked for the year in this game, but I'm still benching him. I agree with you. He is literally the textbook definition of a touchdown-dependent tight end. He will score or he will be useless for you.
Let's skip forward to A.J. Brown, Matthew. He makes the hate list this week against a very stingy Buffalo defense.
Fewest fantasy points allowed, fewest yards allowed, lowest catch rate allowed. No wide receiver one has even scored 15 fantasy points against the Bills so far this year. A.J. Brown has been bad. Under 50 yards in every game so far he's played this year. Is he 100% healthy? Stefania, better to answer that, but didn't even play 65% of the snaps last week. He has been practicing this week. Julio Jones is back, so maybe getting Julio and A.J. Brown in the same field together in a game in which we think there'll be a lot of points scored on the Buffalo side, so maybe they have to start throwing it a ton. So maybe volume gets you there with A.J. Brown, and we know how insanely talented he is. But based on expectations, he comes in at wide receiver 19. I mean, this is a guy that was drafted top six overall. So you're still probably starting him based on my ranks. But again, love-hate is always about expectations. And for a guy that was drafted in the top six or eight among wide receivers, for me to have him at wide receiver 19 tells you something.
Let's go through three star wide receivers who this year the numbers tell you probably should not be in your lineup this weekend. So I'm going to ask you whether your gut tells you, hey, this is the week where things break differently. The first is Tyler Boyd, who when both T. Higgins and Jamar Chase have played, he's averaged 9 fantasy points per game. What's your gut telling you? In the lineup or out of the lineup?
Out of the lineup. The only piece that I will offer is that Lou Riddick does have him, and he's playing against me in the War Room League. So
you know he's going off. Okay.
But to your point, he has been – it's a decent matchup with Detroit, but in the games in which T. Higgins has been active, to your point, he's averaging 9 fantasy points a game. So I'm borderline there, but yeah, you know what? I would say I would say he probably does have a decent game again because he's going against me, and that's how I think.
Odell Beckham Jr., who has not been a top 70 wide receiver in either of the past 2 weeks. Gut feeling here or no?
No.
Same here. It's been 2+ years of this with Odell in Cleveland. He's still a really talented guy. I don't think Cleveland runs like a poor system. I think Kevin Stefanski is a really smart offensive coach. I think this is just sort of an arranged marriage gone wrong so far in Cleveland. One more here is Allen Robinson. But before I ask Matthew, Stefania, he has not practiced this week.
I know. It's a little concerning. He's been out with an ankle issue. But Allen Robinson is a gamer. He hardly ever misses. So it remains to be seen. Again, he's another one. Were they managing him and up until Friday? Doesn't seem to be a lot of concern locally about it yet, so stay tuned.
Okay, that is good news potentially for Allen Robinson. Matthew, same thing here. He has not been a top 45 wide receiver this year in any week. I'm assuming he has to remain on the bench, right?
Correct. Yes.
Now let me ask you, you know, I think that cold take on all the rookie quarterbacks, like I think they're all going to be good. I still believe that. Like I think every team who drafted a first-round quarterback feels good about where those players are at. That being said, Matthew, there's really nothing that's happened since Justin Fields became the starter that makes this I'm not sure it's any fantasy friendlier than it was with Andy Dalton, right? And it wasn't like when Andy Dalton was playing, it was a great week at all for Allen Robinson. So I think there's no reason to believe things are guaranteed to change this week for Allen Robinson.
Correct, for Allen Robinson. The only hope, to the point about the rookie quarterbacks, Justin Fields is really good with deep ball accuracy. And so,
yeah, but you know
Darnell
what else he's
Mooney,
really good at?
What's that? Running.
Running.
He doesn't run.
I don't get it.
I wouldn't expect him to run much. Did you guys see what happened to his knee in last week's game? It went the wrong direction. He had a huge hyperextension. Luckily, they think he's going to play. They're talking about him being fine, but I'd be surprised if he runs a lot.
Yeah. Well, I know that's always the rub, right? I mean, coaches, other than Lamar Jackson and a few others, but, you know, even Russell Wilson's a great runner who barely runs anymore, right? Other than scrambles. So it's a delicate balance that coaches are always going to be juggling.
I agree with you. He's not going to run. I merely said, like, in terms of fantasy prospects under Justin Fields versus Andy Dalton, I think that Darnell Mooney's value has gone up with Fields under center.
I agree on that. We have just a few minutes here, so let's try to close out with a couple of players that last week either were surprises because of injury or because of performance, and just ask your confidence level. Matthew, I think your confidence level is the same surrounding Myles Gaskin is mine. You have him at 23, I have him at 22. You wanted to spend a moment here just like a little, not quite a prayer circle, but like how do we will this into existence, right? How do we get 7 targets going to Myles Gaskin on Sunday morning? Like what is it going to take?
Begging Tua.
Okay.
Tua, it looks like Tua's going to start.
Yeah.
You know, hey, Tua, dump it down.
Yeah.
You don't get hurt again. Protect that hip. Quickly, get rid of it. Did Myles Gaskin. We're begging. We're putting it out there into the universe.
37.
Woo.
37. That's the number that Myles Gaskin wears and the number of targets he should have over the next 3 weeks combined. That sounds good, right?
I'm good with that. Right, I'm down with that.
Juju for Myles Gaskin, who, again, seriously, we do have him like right outside our top 20. The reason why he's not inside the top 20 is, of course, because 2 weeks ago he played 12 snaps.
It's a good matchup with Jacksonville, who allows the 6 most fantasy points to running backs this year.
I think Jacksonville wins that game on Sunday, just for the record.
I like the call.
Devontae Booker, Matthew, fills in for Saquon Barkley. Of course, not expected to play this weekend. Devontae Booker played 88% of the snaps last week. He had a rushing touchdown. He had a receiving touchdown. He is inside both your and my top 20 for running backs.
He is. And by the way, he's a true three-down back. Like, they used him in the passing game last week as well. Like, you know, and so, like, we don't expect Galladay to play in this game. We don't expect Saquon Barkley to play in the game. The other wide receivers are banged up. Like, they don't have a ton of weapons there, and they're going to have to try to get the ball moving. So I think Booker, just based on pure volume, is a top 20 play this week.
There you have it. Devontae Booker, top 20 play in both Matthew and my eyes. Big opportunity for him until Saquon Barkley returns. The Giants, man, they are just in the midst of an absolutely brutal schedule. Perhaps they find a way to keep that Rams offense on the field by throwing the ball a lot. Before we say goodbye, Stefania has more updates.
Really quickly, Lamar Jackson back in practice after missing yesterday with an illness. And okay. Daniel Jones going to be a full participant in practice today. So as far as practice elevation, it's the best thing. He would still need the independent clearance to be able to play, but everything on track for him to play.
I would expect an announcement on Saturday regarding Daniel Jones and his availability for the game on Sunday. That's all we have. A reminder, with all these injuries that we still don't know the exact nature of them or how much or if at all they'll limit the players, Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN2. It is going to be an essential show to be watching. For Matthew and Stefania and Daniel, I'm Field. We'll talk to you guys on Sunday, and I'll talk to you again on Monday right here.
Who do you think you are? I am!
Peace out.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. Advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.